Blog Talk Radio.
Forgotten Heroes, the independent film that Hollywood refused to distribute.
They were asked to risk their lives in order to save their enemy.
The producers of Forgotten Heroes are donating 25% of all sales to the American Veterans Disabled for Life Memorial Fund.
We need someone to go in there and bring them out.
From first-time director Jack Marino, the home run for America's Vietnam veterans.
They are Forgotten Heroes.
Buy the DVD now at ForgottenHeroesTheMovie.com. That's ForgottenHeroesTheMovie.com.
Hey! Just hear that little soundbite there. That's Forgotten Heroes, but Jack Marino. So tonight's show is going to be, we're going to have Jack Marino in today. So we're going to be talking about that. And some news, we're going to cover that too. And some silliness. You like that, don't you? So, join us, 347-884-8125. For those of you that have a computer, you know, be able to chat, just chat with us, blogtalkradio.com/TheFernandoPoniente Show. And today's topic, again, is the movie Forgotten Heroes by Jack Marino. So we're going to have him here in a minute. I think there's people over there on my switchboard already, so I'm going to pick them up in a little bit here, so bear with me. And I don't know, my computer seems a little odd right now. I don't know, I just installed a McAfee thing, and it just started to, slowing down. I don't know, you know, that could be a lot of things too, so, but hey, the show must go on, so fear not, my friend. Fernando Poniente is here. So again, Jack Marino's going to be here later in a little bit. Here, I'm going to pick him up. I think he's calling in right now, and that's what I'm going to do. So hold on just a second here. To the rescue! All right. See, I told you my computer is a little acting little things. I'm trying to pick something up here, and it's not working for me. What do you know? What do you know? There you go. So. See, if everything's just working right, it'll be this world will be perfect. But actually, it's not working. Well, having technical difficulties. Okay. Now, switchboard's on, back online, and Fernando Puñet is here. We have 818. Are you there? Can you hear me? Area code 818. Can you hear me? No? Not yet? If you can hear me, just say something, all right? Because I just unmuted you, so you should be able to get in any time now.
Yeah, this is me, Fernando. This is Jack.
Oh, Jack, there you go. See, I told you. I can hear you now. Hey, what's the weather out like out there? Are you in California, right?
I'm in Los Angeles, yep.
L.A., the sunny side of California. All right. So how's the weather like? Good?
It's been very good. Typical California weather today, nice and sunny and not too hot, not too cold.
I envy you, my friend.
It's like this every day, no humidity, nothing.
Wow, that is perfect. Right now, we just, it stopped raining, but we have, winds picking up a little bit, and, I can hear it just shaking my house a little bit. But we've been having nothing but rain today.
Wow.
So it's about a little warmer. It's like in the 50s right now.
Right.
But the last couple of days, it's on like in the 40s. Kids getting sick. I mean, H1N1. That's like the season right now. So can you tell my listeners a little bit about you and where you came from and how you why you made this movie and etc.
Sure. I Well, I'm originally from Everett, Massachusetts. It's a little city outside of Boston. It's mostly, at the time when I was there, it was Sicilian Irish Catholics, you know, and all Democrats, but we're all conservatives. You know, we were basically the sons and daughters of World War II veterans. So, you know, we all grew up, you know, my dad was a World War II vet, all my uncles and all my friends' fathers.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the world I came out of. And, you know, growing up in the late mid to late 50s and early 60s was a great time, and especially for motion pictures and stuff. And that's when I fell in love with movies, because my dad would take me to the show. And, you know, I'd go see first-run films like, you know, Ben-Hur and Spartacus and, you know, Jason and the Argonauts and all those great movies that
right.
You didn't have to worry about.
Back.
Yeah, well, you didn't have to worry about, you know, the F word coming out at you, or somebody telling you how bad America is and everything like that. So it was a great time, and even through the 60s it was good. It was, you know, you had other great films coming up in the late 60s, like Dr. Zhivago and all those kind of movies.
Mm.
And it was when I was in college, everything started changing in the 70s, and, you know, when the last, I think Jack Warner was the last movie mogul to sell a motion picture studio. By that time, you know, they had taken over the, you know, liberals had taken over Hollywood and proceeded to do what they were doing, what they're doing today, and just attacking everything this country stands for, and going after our cultures and our traditions, and just going after all the bad things in this country, and, you know, emphasizing it that this is how it is every day in this country. And so, you know, we have a couple generation of kids who really don't know, you know, how great this country was after World War II and the 50s and everything. It's a shame, because those movies represented all that stuff. So it was during that time period, I fell in love with the motion picture business. And in college, I started doing some acting. And then around 77, 78, came to Hollywood to see if I could break into the film business.
Mm-hmm.
And I was out here for about 8 months and got to meet Stallone during Paradise Alley, and a lot of Telly Savalas and a lot of different guys and stuff. And it was great. I met a lot of nice people, you know. And then I went back home and finished up my job. I was working there, and I got married, and my wife and I came out here in 1980. We've been out here ever since.
Hmm.
And I was going to, you know, just basically pursue an acting career, but you know, when you get married and you start having kids,
yeah, you put that aside, right?
Yeah, that's sort of it's on the burner, but it's on one of the back ones, you know. And,
right, exactly. So, like, you know, before I got married, you know, I had everything, you know, planned out, and said, you know, I'm gonna, you know, join a military or something like that, and after that, I'm probably join a, you know, become a, what they call it, a forensic science, and hopefully, you know, become a, like a cop or an FBI or some sort of like that. And I actually took a, what do you call that? You know, those, a gumshoe thing, you know, you become a detective, and that, you know, got married and, you know, popped two kids and, you know, kind of put aside, and my whole perspective in life kind of changed, you know. I agree. Let's get Winston's in there. I think Winston's on the other line. Hey, Winston, are you there?
Oh, yeah, I'm here.
Oh, yeah. Hey, we got Mr. Jack Marino on the other line.
Yeah. What's up?
Hi, Winston. How are you?
I'm doing terrific.
That's great.
That's great.
You holding up the weather down there?
Oh, we're hanging in tight. You know, the football game got canceled tonight at high school, so, yeah, I'm just, you know, man.
Because of the weather?
Yeah, I mean, it was raining. We had a tornado warning, like three tornado warnings during school.
Oh, yeah, that's Mississippi. Yeah. That's not Tornado Alley. Is that Mississippi right there?
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah, I mean, we don't get tornado up here, but we get rains, man. Like, I mean, stop raining to like 2 days. So let's get back to Jack. If you have any questions, feel free to, you know, just ask Jack, and we're going to have another caller over here, but not raising his hand or her hands, but, you know, I'm not going to be able to pick that up. So, caller, if you want to participate in our conversation here, just press 1. It's not that hard. It's that little first letter or number right on your telephone. That is the thing. 347-884-8125, and later on, I'm, you know, play some, I'm going to try to play some music, and we'll go from there. Hey, Jack, I know it's going to be Halloween tomorrow. It's going to be Halloween. Can you share some of your scariest movies of all time?
Oh, chicas, I think, the first time I was, that I remember was when I first saw Halloween, because I was going to be in the movie. I was out here in '78 working on, and I was going to get a role, just an extra role, basically. And mm-hmm. two of the guys I was hanging out with, we had just finished a movie with Max Baer. Mm-hmm. And I had gone to back to Boston, and they were working on it that summer, so when the movie came out, I think it was a few months later, the movie came out, so I went, to the theater, and there they are, bigger than life, both of them, they're in, I think they're in the scene where the father drives up to Jamie Lee Curtis, she's just working in the store, she comes out to the car, and there's two guys standing by there, and they're talking, and so I got a big kick seeing them on film, and because we were talking about working on the picture, but I moved back to Boston. But that was the first time I had actually gone to a movie theater and sat with a full house with Halloween and everybody just screaming, all these kids, So it was So it was fun. I mean, I don't really remember too many scary films growing up. Because in the 60s, you watch a lot of TV, you get the Twilight Zone and the Outer Limits and all that stuff going on.
Yeah, I remember those things, too. I caught up that. Like in the 80s, Twilight Zone was, it was a hit, too. Was that scary? I mean, if you compare the scary movie from, the 60s and 70s, compare that to movies of today is just all about gory. It's all about, it's just, I'm not a big fan of a scary movies, but, if you compare that, it's just, it's taking it to a different level.
Right.
Of scariness, it's just gruesome. Let's get a caller over here, 608. You're on the line with Jack Marino and Winston Pitts and Fernando. Hey, 608-408, what's up?
Nothing much, just calling for the radio show.
Oh, he's done. Hey, we got Jack Marino, producer of the Forgotten Heroes, on the other line. You got a question for him?
No, I was just calling in.
Oh, you're calling?
Find out
okay.
What the topic is today.
Oh, that is the topic. We're going to be talking about movies, and et cetera. Hey, Jack Marino, where the listeners can get your movies and order them?
Okay, you can go to my website at www.forgottenheroesthemovie.com. You can go there and order the DVD and... we're donating, from every sale that we make, we're donating 25% of the DVD gross sales to the American Veterans Disabled for Life Memorial Fund. And we're honoring the disabled vets from all our wars, from the Revolution up until today. Mm. And, the money's going towards to build this. It's a beautiful memorial. It's going to have a reflecting pool and, I guess, an eternal flame there. So it's going to be really nice. And so people, if they buy the film and years later they go down to the memorial, they can always feel that they participated in this. So plus they get themselves a good little old-fashioned war movie that doesn't abuse you, and there's no F-words in Forgotten Heroes.
Mm.
It's a Vietnam film without any F-words. Only my film and John Wayne's film are the only two that don't have the F-bomb flashing at, flying by.
Right.
So, I wanted to make an old-style film and basically concentrate on the guys, concentrate on the camaraderie and the conviction, and you get to know the guys in the first hour, and then the second hour things start going on and in the mission. So, if they had made this film back in the 40s, you would see like Anthony Quinn in the movie and William Bendix and Dana Andrews and John Ireland and those type of guys would be in the film. I was very fortunate. I had a good group of young actors at the time, and in the movie, it's about a Russian general who defects, played by veteran character actor William Smith. Bills would play Falcon Eddie on Rich Man, Poor Man, and he played the Russian general in Red Dawn. He played the father in Conan. So Bill's done a lot of work, and he's been around, and always plays the heavy Bill, I think at the beginning of the 70s, he started playing the heavy. Before that, he was always a good guy. And, and so when I wrote the script, I went against type. I wanted him to play a good guy. So he loved the concept of it. He read the script. He loved it. And, so we had a good time with Bill. Bill's a very, very talented guy. And
Any trailer that like your listeners can go to, like YouTube, anything like that, they can that.
Yeah, they can if they go to YouTube, they can they just type in my name, Jack Marino, and it's like Dan Marino, just Jack, you know, it's Jack Marino. Just type it in, and there's two trailers. There's what I call a teaser, which is 60 seconds, and a 2-minute trailer. And there's an 8-minute speech that I made at the Boston Tea Party. So those three are on YouTube. I also have them on MySpace. So you just type in myspace.com/ForgottenHeroesTheMovie, and there's a lot of stuff on that on MySpace. If you just Google my name, Jack Marino, I come up. You know, all of my sites come up. You know, and I have I'm on Facebook, and I have my 5-minute promo. Because that's the only site that would take that five-minute file. You know, it's huge.
Yeah.
So you can see that. So I got the trailer, the teaser. I've got the two speeches I made in Boston. One is 8 minutes long, and the other one was 8 minutes, but they only sent me about 2 minutes of it. So they were supposed to send me the full version, but they never did. And so that's up there. And so, you know, people can read about it. I mean, I've been written up. Matter of fact, I just put a bunch of reviews and some quotes and stuff all over the website this last week. I've been really working on it. So we've been making some decent sales, getting some great response, especially from the Vietnam veterans. Veterans Day is coming up, so if people want to buy a great little war film for a family member who's a Vietnam vet or a Gulf War vet or World War II or any kind of a veteran that you want to give them a little gift of a movie to show soldiers in a positive light, because we haven't really seen any American films where soldiers are portrayed as heroes, except for Mel Gibson's We Were Soldiers once in 2002, and that's it. You know, but you know, Mel is basically you know, he's bulletproof. So Mel wants to make a movie, he just makes it and throws it out there. You know,
right?
So you know, nothing. You know,
he's been under under fire though with that. Lately about, you know, his drunkenness and all that stuff, but you know, when he was caught, I don't know, like DUI, I don't know, if this is not recently, but this is, you know,
yeah, that was a few years back. Yeah, he got
right.
He had just come back from Apocalypto, from what I understand. And
Apocalypto, yeah. Have you seen it?
Yeah, it's pretty good. It's a very good movie. I mean, the sets in that thing are just absolutely phenomenal. They capture the whole Aztec culture.
Loved it.
Yeah,
you know, my wife and I watch that. Let's jump in on a subject. Right, I want to talk about what's going on today. You know, in as far as like the war in Afghanistan and Iraq. Could you comment on, you know, on how the administration, President Obama, is handling the Afghanistan and Iraq right now?
I think he's handling it. It could end up being a disaster if he doesn't take any action on it. I just think. I don't know why he's procrastinating. We got soldiers in harm's way over there, and he's the general said about a month ago that we need 40,000 troops. Those troops should already have been over there.
Right.
This whole idea of fighting these containment wars, you know, led by Democratic presidents starting since Harry Truman, has been a disaster for this country. This is why we never had any final results in the Korean War. We didn't have any final results in the Vietnam War. And, you know, we didn't have any final results on the war on terrorism because we don't go in there and fight these wars as a war and go in there and basically go in there to win and basically like a World War II victory and capture the area, get rid of the insurgents, get the help of the people on our side, and just go in there and clean the place up and then reestablish a democratic government, which we did in Iraq, you know.
Well, it's the President Barack Obama, you know, he doesn't even want 40,000. He was going to take his time. He said he's not in a rush. You know, he's not going to say it's on 40,000 out there because of, you know, some kind of a diplomatic issue. Or I mean, there's a diversity between, you know, his cabinets and of course the Republicans and all that opposed to that. But you know, and they don't really understand it yet. Like you said, the soldier is in harm's way.
Right.
Now, do you think this is going to be like the Afghanistan and Iraq and war on terrorism? I mean, we can't even say war on terrorism anymore. Do you think this is going to be another Vietnam thing? This Barack Obama's Vietnam?
I don't know. You know, it's Vietnam was Vietnam. I mean, you know, people always, you know, we've been told for years. that, you know, we lost Vietnam, and militarily we won that war. We devastated the place. You know, we lost 56,000 heroes at stopping the spread of communism. You know, we ended up, they lost over 3.5, maybe 4 million people, just the Viet Cong and the North Vietnamese Regular Army, plus all the civilians that were killed, that, you know, most of them were killed by the communists. They devastated their own people.
Yeah, when the United States left, that's when that's what happened.
Well, even during the war, I mean, they were going in and basically, you know, if an American squad of Americans went into a village and you know, helped the village and stuff like that, and the Americans would leave, then the Viet Cong would come in and basically kill everybody.
Kill everybody.
You know, for collaborating with, you know, if they got food or something, whatever they did, they would just devastate the village. So, I mean, and then the problem was the liberals on this side of the fence were portraying, in movies, they were portraying the Americans as basically SS soldiers, you know, as bad as they were, and every day in Vietnam was May Lai. There was a May Lai massacre going on every day.
Yeah, they're doing that now.
They're doing
that exact same thing.
Yeah, this is the MO of the left, and this is why these wars last forever, because they don't stand behind the country. You know, they come up with this illogical reference, you know, I support the troops but not the mission. Well, the troops are the mission, you know what I mean?
Right.
This is why we have troops over there, to basically liberate, you know, dictatorships, you know, from these countries, you know, liberate these countries from these dictatorships and try to establish some form of liberty, even if it's all the way across the world, because it will affect us in the future. But they just don't understand this. I mean, if the Democratic Party had stood behind Bush the first year from the time when he went into Iraq, and one solid year he had showed this country was a united front, then that war would have been over within a year. But, you know, I mean, these people are watching CNN just like we are. They can speak English. You know, they hear all this stuff, you know, about Bush, you know, Bush is this, Bush is that, they hate Bush, and in their perspective, and they're in a cave someplace, they think the whole country's against Bush, just like they did in Vietnam. Even the Vietnam general, when after the war was over, he thanked, you know, basically on television, John Kerry and Jane Fonda for basically, you know, inspiring them to continue to fight on, because I think it was General Gap or one of those generals, they were ready to surrender after 68. And so these people are basically responsible for an extra 30,000 names on that black wall down there in Washington. So they've got the blood on their hands. So, and again, this is one reason why I made Forgotten Heroes, to honor those the soldiers that these people would spit on in film. And they spit on them when they came back from the war in Vietnam, you know, and then they started spitting on them in movies. I mean, we didn't even treat the Confederate soldiers this bad when after the Civil War.
you made a point there, yeah.
You know?
That's just, yeah.
And I mean, it's despicable what I call the cult of malcontents, which is the Democratic Party and the liberals. I mean, they just hate this country, and you know, they opened us up for an attack. Because they left that guy. Anytime this country shows any kind of weakness or appeasement, we get attacked. You know, we got attacked in 1941. We got attacked with the World Trade Towers. People united for a certain amount of time, and then all of a sudden, they started attacking Bush because they hate Bush and the conservatives more than they love this country.
Exactly, and it showed. Could you, you know, let the listeners out there? I know that, you know, when I was talking, this is about a couple months ago when the movie Johnny Depp's movie came out, you know, with the Christian Bale and all that. You know, I would hear Christians like, they would say, oh, I love, you know, Johnny Depp and all that. And you know, not knowing that, you know, what Johnny Depp's believes as far as like the war and, you know, and his political stance is actually, you know, yeah, I mean, he adores Che Guevara, you know what I mean? So I mean, do you know in Hollywood right now any liberal actors or actresses that active when it comes to you know, opposing the war and disliking America? I know Jen Fonda and Tim Robbins is. But
oh, yeah,
any names?
Yeah, those people I don't know personally. I've never really met them. But when you work on a movie and you work, you know,
Rosie O'Donnell.
Yeah, just those people I've never met. I mean, I've never really met them. You see them on TV, and you know, once in a while, you know, you may see one of them drive by, or you may see one of them, but you don't really get a chance to talk to them because they don't hang out with, they don't go to the regular stores and regular places. I mean, they live in their little bubble in Beverly Hills and some of those areas, and they're, you know, they're in those type of and the left really doesn't have any organizations where they all hang out. They always have their parties and stuff, but
right.
You know, the conservatives, I mean, the conservative side is a lot different. Now, you know, we're treated like outcasts in this town. I mean, you can't get work, and if you open your mouth, you get fired. You just what I call politely ignored. You just are not hired anymore because all the hierarchy are all leftists. They hate they hate Christians. They hate conservatives. I mean, and it doesn't matter if you're a conservative, Christian or a conservative Jew. They hate you because you're conservative. If you believe in God in any way, shape, or form, you know, you're a pariah. So this is, you know, and you don't get work. You just, especially if you're an unknown like myself. This is why you don't see, you know, why don't you see a 22, 23-year-old, young conservative, pro-life, pro-Bush, you know, Kevin Smith. You know, you don't see those. You don't see those guys.
Right.
You know, you'll never see an American who happens to be black who thinks and talks like Clarence Thomas wants to make movies. It just doesn't exist. I mean, they're out,
no.
But they'll never get work. I mean, so
not
you'll never see
time.
You'll never see a conservative Spike Lee. I mean, it's never happened. So, and the only way the conservatives, you know, whether they be a black or white, because the liberals are always into this racial stuff and they're so anal about everything.
Mm-hmm.
The only way you're going to see any kind of an American filmmaker, and it doesn't matter what their race, creed, or color is, because they're conservative, because they want to make a movie that shows America in a great light, you just don't get the work. So the conservatives together out here have groups. They have networking groups, and I belong to two of them. And and in those groups, you get to meet a lot of great people. And we have certain events and meetings we get together, and you hear some speeches. I just met Thaddeus McCotter at a speech, and then at that speech, I met John Voight. He was there. I mean, he's a very nice guy, John.
John Voight.
Yeah, there's a lot of great Americans, and it's just a shame that Hollywood, the liberals scream about the McCarthy era. And they scream Bloody Mary's an awful time, and, you know, they had the Hollywood 10. Well, today they've taken the McCarthy era and they've turned it into basically an art form, and we have the Hollywood 10,000 now. So, I mean, it's just, I've known people for being fired from their job just for listening to Rush Limbaugh on the radio very low.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Even myself, I worked in post-production because for years I worked in what they call video duplication and post-production in the early days, and then recently I got back into it, and I got laid off a job. They can't fire you because you're conservative. They'll find other reasons, but I kept in touch with all the people I used to work with, and all the conservatives who basically, you know, would state their opinion are all gone.
Wow.
There are still conservatives there, but those guys never open their mouth. I mean, they never talk politics, you know, unless they knew, like, say, I was, and we were just the two of us, and we were talking quietly, and, you know, in a corner someplace. But, you know, I would voice my opinion to anybody, because most of the people there are all kids and stuff, and we'd make a joke of it, and we'd go back and forth. But, you know, people complain. They go, you know, behind your back, they complain to the supervisors, and next thing we're cutting back because, we're downsizing and all that kind of stuff. Other guys are basically fired for other reasons. You know, they wait till you make a mistake on a job order, and they'll fire you for it, you know. So
yeah, this is just like, similar to the evolutions and creations. You know, I strongly believe in if you put your evolution I'm creation. I believe, you know, strongly in the Bible, creation. You know, God created the earth, you know, 6-7 days. And my wife and I just had to, we went to the the Truth with the Ben Steins. I don't know if you ever heard of that.
I've seen that film. It's a funny film.
Mm-hmm.
Any of those professors in the film in these colleges and universities around the
mm-hmm.
world, not just in America, they call them intelligent design. They believe in intelligent design.
Right.
And they're blacklisted. You know?
Yeah.
Wow.
I
mean, this is a form of fascism, and the left basically reeks of it. And what we need to do as American citizens to get politically involved in this, in the process, get out there in November 2010 and just vote these bums out of office. And they're stealing our money.
Yeah, do that.
Right. Yeah. And this is what we get done. I was fortunate. I was invited to a couple of tea parties out here in L.A., and I went to them, and I was invited to speak at the one in Boston. So I flew to Boston, made two speeches, which was a lot of fun.
Hmm.
And the crowds are getting bigger and bigger. And,
yeah.
We Americans, we conservatives have been basically very lazy for the last 50 years, and
mm-hmm.
a lot of it has to do because we don't think like Democrats, and we have to. And Democrats,
mm-hmm.
They live politics 24/7. And this is all they do, and they're always trying to change because they figure,
mm-hmm.
they were destined to change the world, make the place a better place for mankind. And
mm-hmm.
The funny thing is, everything they touch turns to dog do. So
yeah, exactly.
So I mean, it's just like they're a mess at it, So
mm-hmm.
Conservatives, we're busy working, raising our children, and just trying to. And every so many years, 2 years to 4 years, we get involved in the political process. But when there are no elections, the Democrats are out there working because they believe power is their birthright, and really what they're after is our tax money. This is a big extortion racket, to take
mm-hmm.
as much taxes from us, and basically give it to people who they make dependent on the country, on the government for. Whether they call it welfare or
mm-hmm.
a school or whatever, and I call those people mooches, slackers, and freeloaders, and they take from the achievers. They call
mm-hmm.
us the evil rich, and I just got laid off my job, so that's how evil rich I am, And
That's what happened when you did that. But hey, we're gonna take a quick break here in a minute, and we'll be back. Hey, we're gonna have a Q&A. If you have Winston's and Dawn, if you have any questions for Jack Marino, feel free to do so. We're gonna take a quick break, and I'm gonna play a song. This is Cast Your Crowns by Who Am I. Hey, stick around, Jack. We'll be back. Okay.
Okay, sure thing, Fernando.
No problem. Who Am I by Cast Your Crowns.
That the Lord of all the earth would care to know my name, would care to feel my hurt. Who am I that the bright and morning star would choose to light the way for my ever wandering heart? Not because of who I am, but because of what you've done. Not because of what I've done, but because of who you are. I am a flower quickly fading, here today and gone tomorrow. A wave tossed in the ocean, vapor in the wind. Still you hear me when I'm calling, Lord, you catch me when I'm falling, and you've told me who I am. I am yours. I am yours. Who am I that the eyes that see my sin would look on me with love?
but because of what you've done. Not because of what I've done, but because of who you are. I am a flower quickly fading, here today and gone tomorrow, a wave tossed in the ocean, a vapor in the wind. Still you hear me when I'm calling, Lord, you catch me.
Forgotten Heroes, the independent film that Hollywood refused to distribute.
They were asked to risk their lives in order to save their enemy.
The producers of Forgotten Heroes are donating 25% of all sales to the American Veterans Disabled for Life Memorial Fund.
We need someone to go in there and bring them out.
From first-time director Jack Marino, the home run for America's Vietnam veterans.
They are Forgotten Heroes.
Buy the DVD now at ForgottenHeroesTheMovie.com. That's ForgottenHeroesTheMovie.com.
Welcome back. This is Fernando on the Fernando Bonanni Show. If you have any questions for Jack Marino, the producer of Forgotten Heroes, you got to call 347-884-8125. And when you call, you got to press 1. Come on. Don't be, what do you call that? Bill O'Reilly, you say that word. Popping J. I don't know what that means, but that's what it. Don't be a popping J. You got to press 1, so I should be able to pick you up when you do that. And again, we're gonna have a Q&A. I'll get them back in pretty soon here. And as soon as I get my little computer, little engine that could. But hey, I read about this thing about the cap and trade. You know, today's the actually a couple of days of the Senate's hearings on the cap and trade energy tax bill. With all the talk and the cap and trade, they said it will create new jobs. And, you know, I can't help but think about something else, you know. This is what the balloon boy. Because the balloon boy in Colorado, I don't know if you know this, fooled millions of Americans with their hoax, yet they only broke our heart. Oh, that is just things. Hey, Jack Marino on the other end. Welcome back, Jack.
I'm glad to be back here, Fernando.
All right.
Have a good time here.
All right, I'm glad that you are. Hey, Winston Pitch, we're going to go with you in a little bit here if you have any questions for Jack. And also we're going to go with Dawn on the other end also with 15 kids with her because I can hear them in the background. All right, listen up. Okay, Winston, so you got any questions for Jack?
Well, not right now. I think I answered all my questions on the last
show. Oh, really? You did? Okay.
Yeah.
What about you, Dawn? Any questions at all?
Can he repeat that website to go to again?
Okay,
For the movie?
Right, it's www.ForgottenHeroesTheMovie.com. So it's just the name of the movie, you know, ForgottenHeroesTheMovie.com. And you can read all the different things that have been going on with it, and you can buy the film from there. And you know, like I said, you know, Veterans Day is coming up, and it's a great gift, and
And it helps out. It helps a good cause, you know.
Right. And also, holidays coming up, Christmas, it will make a good, what do you call that, stocking stuffing, you know?
That's right. Stocking stuffing, yeah.
Stocking stuffing and all that. But, hey, Jack, have you written any book or anything like that?
No, I've been asked to, and you know, people have asked me to write, you know, these past 20 years of what I've been through, and because I tell the stories, you know, to a lot of people, and I've met a lot of writers, and they think I should put it down. So I'm slowly working on, you know, I don't know if I could call it a manifesto or a declaration right now. So I'm putting it together, basically, you know, to give people an idea if they sit down and they read this thing. I mean, I'm already up to 30 pages, and I'm not even halfway through the production of it yet. So I mean, it's just. Yeah,
so creating a memoir right now, like
just so people can, you know, they can find out what, you know, what it takes for an independent filmmaker who, you know, I remember, but my partner and I, John Liebert, he helped me raise the funding on the outside, and we just, you know, stuck with this thing together through these years to make it happen, and all the stuff we went through, all the good luck we've had, all the bad luck, all the funny stories and stuff like that. So and it, just so you know, other young filmmakers, because I meet a lot of young filmmakers out here, and they always ask me questions, how do you do this and how do you do that, and I give them kind of the best advice I can, because they're just you know, experiencing these things that I experienced years and years ago, and but you know, today, you know, the kids, they have all this fancy equipment, they have YouTube, they have the internet, which, you know, when I first came out here in 1980, it didn't exist, so there was no way for me to sell my movie back in those days. We had to go to the distributors, and you know, it's like dealing, it's just like dealing with the Italian mob in New York. You know, you want to build a.
Yeah.
That's what it's like, you know.
Just like how you look right now.
Yeah, well, I mean, the main thing is, you know, you fight with them because just to protect your product, and then on top of this, there's a political aspect to it. You know, they're liberals.
Yeah.
So, I mean, so they, you know, I mean, they want to steal your money, but then they want to do it purposely because, well, you like Bush, or you know, you believe in Jesus or anything, and they just, you know, you like America, you're crazy, you know, and so it's just like, you know, it's like a big peer pressure out here, you know, and it's like when I was in high school, you had all the guys, you know, we were all basically blue collar kids, you know, driving muscle cars, and you know. And during the day, we're just, you know, in our street clothes, we dress like James Dean, and at night we dress like Sinatra, you know. Meanwhile, the other kids all look like hippies, and this, you know, they're all potheads. So you had all these two groups, you know, going back and forth, and you know, no one ever thought the potheads would amount to anything, you know, but they ended up taking over the country, you know.
They all delusionals, and some reason they all like they act and talk like they're on the cloud nine or something like that. But hey, do you have a blog?
No, I don't. I blog normally sometimes at bighollywood.com, and a lot of the people I've met on BTI, which have been so generous with their time and allowing me to tell my story to everybody. A lot of the hosts have their own blogs, so sometimes I'll visit and I'll make some comments and stuff like that. I kind of go around. People have asked me to get a blog, but the blog would be like a one-note Charlie, just about me and my film. So you know,
right?
And it's just in politics. We can get into all kinds of stuff with that stuff. But I usually talk. You know, I like talking on the radio. I mean, I've been asked to do my own radio show, which I'm thinking about doing a radio show off of BTR. It's called LA Talk Radio.
Hmm.
Because I have a lot of access to a lot of friends, a lot of writers, conservatives. Mm-hmm. So I want to make it a conservative show where I can plug the movie, we can talk politics or what it's like to be a conservative in Hollywood, and hopefully I'll get some of these people to, expose themselves, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And then I have a lot of friends who are writers who have written about old Hollywood, so I can tap into those group of guys and have them on. And then I've got some friends who are very religious, and one of my friends is a filmmaker, and he's been translating the Aramaic Bible for the last 20 years.
Wow.
It's from Aramaic to directly to English, so it's an incredible piece of work, and I've got him on the show. I can have him on there, and there's a lot of people we can talk. So we can have some fun. So it's just I've done a few shows on that network. And the people there are just great. So,
right. How's your schedule like this coming up, like holidays and all that? Anything that you like, attending, like tea party or anything like that?
Well, there's a couple of things coming up in November. It's called the Freedom Cigar Club. We're all going to get together and smoke a cigar and talk politics. So I always say talk treason, you know. So
there you go. So anyone from that area can, like, you know, if let's say they've ordered your DVD and they can come up to you and have you sign it, you can be able to do that.
Anybody who orders the DVD, when you fill out the credit card information, there's a little comment section. So if you ask, if you ask me to sign the DVD, I will, you know.
Okay.
Normally what I do, and since I'm not getting inundated with, you know, thousands of sales a day, you know,
Not yet.
Mm-hmm. It's going to happen. Sales have picked up since I started. So, but I still, I write a little note to everybody thanking them for, you know, buying it. So I usually put a little note. And a lot of people are very nice. They'll send me an email and tell me why they're buying it and stuff like that. So which is great.
And also they give you a review and what they think about the movie and all that.
Yes, and some people do. Some people are so impressed with it, they just love it. They just send me an email, because my email's on the DVD box and on the website, so people can contact me. And
Speaking of that, I'm impressed. I was on your website and I saw that letter that you have put up there from the president, or you know, from President Bush, you know, when he was in office.
Right.
And can you talk more about that?
Yeah. Well, what happened? I have I had gotten the DVDs done before March, between March of December 2008. I got the mastering done. So it took us a few months to get our inventory made. So one of the first guys I wanted to give a complimentary DVD to was this fellow named Eric Sherman, who's I knew his father very well, and I was a good friend of him and his father's. And his father had passed away around February of that year. He was 99. He was like 1 month shy from his 100th birthday, and we were all having a big party for him and everything. And he just he was at the motion picture home, and he just passed away quickly. And but Vince was a very famous director from the old Warner Brothers day. He directed Errol Flynn in The Adventures of Don Juan and Mrs. Skeffington with Betty Davis. And so, and he had seen my film around 1980. So he was very complimentary. He told me a lot of great stuff with the movie. And and I got to meet his son. And Eric's a filmmaker himself, and he's also, he lectures, and he's a professor. He teaches film, and he hired him as a consultant. He has a video duplication outfit. And, so he's been very, very busy. And I met Eric years ago, and when he first saw the film, Eric was the first guy. He said, "This is the first impressionistic war film I've ever seen," which I've always remembered that. And so he, I have that quote on my website. And so I was very impressed with that, the way he compared my film to that style of filmmaking. And but Eric apparently said, you know, I went to his house and I gave him a copy for being a friend and supporter of my work all these years. And we were talking. He said, "Well, who do you have sent the film to?" And I said, "Well, really, you know, I tried to send it one to Rush Limbaugh and a few people." And I hadn't heard anything. He says, "Well, did you ever think about sending it to the president?" And I said, "Well, I've thought about it." I said, "But, you know, I have no way of getting it to him except the regular, you know, mail it to the White House, you know, and it gets lost with all those billions of hate mail." So,
all right. I hear you.
So he says, "Well," he says, "I can get it to him, you know." I said, "Really?" He says, "Yeah, come in, I'll show you." And I went into his back office, and there he's got pictures of him and George Bush. You know, they were roommates at Yale together. So they've always kept in touch, and so the president has a special mailing outfit for people, you know, friends of his, you know. And so he says, "You write a letter to the president," he says, "and give me a DVD, and I'll send it to him." So that's what I did, and I wasn't expecting a response for like 6 months. I mean, it came within a month. I got it back.
Oh wow!
So you know, he saw the film and he wrote me a nice letter, and because I had told him, you know, I supported his policies and I supported the war and everything, and I said my son is over there in Iraq, and so he wrote that nice little line about my son. You know, he's proud to be his commander in chief, which I thought was very nice. So, so it was something unexpected. I mean, when that Saturday when it came, my wife got the mail, and she was, you know, she started screaming by the front door.
My wife would have done the same.
Yeah, I said, you have a letter from the you got a package from the White House, and it was, you know, it was in a big 8x10 envelope, you know.
Right.
And it's a small letter. I mean, it's a small little 4x6 little letter, you know. And and it was typed, and he signed it, you know, his signature's on it. So, I mean, these are personal letters that he has dictated, you know, he dictates to him and gets them typed up. So it's nice. It was a nice little shot in the arm. So, I mean, how many unknown filmmakers have a letter from the President of the United States commenting on their work? So, I mean, I feel very blessed and very lucky. So we've had a lot of luck like this, yeah.
That's good. I mean, my wife and I, my wife and I is going to, you know, pray for this and pray for you and your family, and you know, hopefully that you know, the Lord will shine a light through this, and people will open their mind, you know, when it comes to that the Vietnam veterans and all of them.
Yeah, well, I appreciate that. I mean, I can use. I have a lot of people back in Boston praying for me for over 25 years.
yeah, that's 25 years. That's, you know, that's nothing to. You know, it could be like in 26 years. You know what I mean?
Right.
Be like the things
right.
you're waiting for being in 27 years. So do you have so I see that you're on Facebook, and do you have Twitter, anything like that, or?
I'm on Twitter. It's I use my name, Jack Marino, and I'm on Facebook. You know, I think if you type in Facebook/Jack Marino, you know, I come up, and same thing with Twitter. So I use my name everywhere to get it out there, so people, I'm easy to find, you know.
Right, exactly, and you got nothing to hide, you know. Like I see a lot of people, you know, I'll never put my name out there. I was like, what do you mean? You know, if you got something to hide, just like, you know, like any people that would be against the wiretapping.
Yeah.
You know, people are against the wiretapping because it's invading privacy. Well, you probably got something to hide, you know,
right.
if you're against that. But so that you got a Twitter.com/Jack Marino.
Right, right. You can tell. Okay. I Twitter every so often. I'll always look. I'm like, you know, today I put the link to your show on here so people can, if they want to come by and listen to it, you know. So anytime I'm on a radio show, I always put the links out there on Facebook, on Twitter, and I email people all over the country, you know, friends of mine. So just
I get some, and I get some callers, you know, dropping in and out, and you know, I can see it right now. So yeah, we're getting some people listening to that right now. So if you're listening out there, again, you can go to Jack Marino. What do you got? Forgotten? What was that again?
It's Forgotten Heroes. Yeah, Forgotten Heroes of the Movie.com.
Okay, Forgotten Heroes of the Movie.com. Okay, right. And also you can follow Jack Marino. You can go on Facebook and just type in Jack Marino. And I think speaking of that, I saw your picture in there wearing a hat. Was that you?
No. That's me. Well, it was me about 1977. I was in a play. It was a sort of a Shakespearean play.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I looked like when I had dark hair and I was very thin.
I said, I was just kind of hesitated. I hesitated for a little bit. Is this the Jack Marino?
Yeah, yeah.
But anyway, that is cool.
Yeah, every so often I'll put a younger picture up because I got some acting shots I usually throw up there. And you know, I was in a play. I played the Spanish ambassador, so I always liked that kind of those kind of roles, Shakespearean roles, and anything with those kind of costumes. I used to love because I did a lot of classical plays back in Boston, you know, at the college and stuff. And I'm a big Errol Flynn fan and John Barrymore and Ronald Coleman and all those great movies, you know. And so yeah, I just put that up there for a while. I usually rotate them, you know, so I keep looking at myself.
Thanks for sharing that. And also, hey, hypothetically, let's say if you're given a chance to make another movie, what would that be?
Well, I have a lot of different screenplays that I've developed over the last 25, 30 years that I've been out here. I've got lots of friends. I mean, I've got romantic comedies. I've got westerns. And I personally like action adventure films, you know, the Lawrence of Arabia type stuff or, you know, stuff about seeking gold. I mean, I was a big fan of the original Indiana Jones Lost Ark, so I like that kind of stuff. I've got some ideas for some space movies, and there's a lot of things I want to do. You know, growing up in the 50s, I saw, you know, a lot of religious films I like. You know, being a Roman Catholic growing up in those years, you get to see a lot of, you know, they used to make those great movies, you know, with Lady of Fatima and The Song of Bernadette. I mean, they haven't made these kind of movies and years. And I think the country's hungry for this stuff. And there's so many miracles out there. There's a couple miracles that happened in World War II that, they don't even talk about. They're all documented and everything. And, I'd like to tap into those ideas and write those and hopefully get them made. And it's all, for me, it's all about money, because Hollywood would never, I could write the greatest screenplay in the world, and submit it, and they'll just say, we're not making it, If I had made The Forgotten Heroes in my movie, raping 12-year-old Vietnamese girls and burning their villages and killing their parents, they would have picked this film up, embraced me, and who knows, they'd probably thrown a couple Oscars at me, that's just what, this is their mindset, they will not allow, they talk about diversity, but they will not allow any other point of view out there on film.
Especially, like Hollywood and all this is kind of, and it's sickening. Especially this recently, who's that producer that was that got involved with the 13-year-old way back?
Roman Polanski.
Polanski. Well, there you go.
Yeah, he's this is people think this is like a an exception and not the rule, and it's really it's really this is what they do all the time. So there's so many young girls coming from all over this country trying to break in this film business for success and fame, and these guys take advantage of them all the time. So
that's just wrong.
It is. We threw God out of this country in '62 in schools, and then we got this incredible abortion going on, and they're murdering all these kids. Like somebody, life is cheap, everything's cheap. Who cares, So people have that attitude, and this is why the kind of films that I want to make. I want to make movies like Frank Capra did. I want to make films that praise this country, praise God, mom and apple pie, and change this whole thing around. This is why I try to, when I do these shows, I always ask people that, if they know people who know people who know people that are basically conservative entrepreneurs that want to invest, who are fed up with the pop culture. I am willing and able and ready to make movies that, you go there and you feel proud of being an American. Who wants to pay $10-$15 in a movie theater with Johnny Depp and George Clooney and all these people and be lectured to, that you're a despicable human being, your country is a despicable place, your God's lousy and everything else. Who wants to pay that? We're paying money for this stuff. So I always tell people, why give your money to Hollywood? Give it to a guy like me, Jack Marino, who's going to, I made a decent little picture. It's not Ben-Hur. It's not The Bridge Too Far. It's a small little independent film. But it shows the camaraderie and the conviction and the heroics of, young American kids, willing to fight and die for liberty. And this is what this country's about. I want to make more films like this, bigger and better films,
So people out there, we got to stand up for what we believe. Hey, Jack, unfortunately, we only have a 60 seconds here, so I'm going to give you a last word.
All right, well, just go to my site and www.forgottenheroesthemovie.com, and I need all conservative Americans and people that believe in this country to support filmmakers like myself and just don't even bother with Hollywood movies anymore. Just, write to the studios, write to people about Forgotten Heroes. Just buy the tape, see it, tell everybody. Just get it out there. The more films I sell is a victory for all of us.
All right, once again, this is Fernando on the Fernando Pignani Show. We just had Jack Marino on. That was awesome. I like that. Hey, Jack, thanks for calling in. And hey, stop by once in a while.
Sure thing.
I'll throw in that clip in there once in a while also, and we'll play that. And again, good night, America. Thanks, Winston, for coming in. Thanks, Don, for coming in, listening. I was living, listening out there. And I am out. Adios.
Thank you, Val.